little skits this morning on evangelism. I'm really excited about this, but I want to take a moment. Can you hear me without that one? Good.
Yes.
Every once in a while, I like to recommend a book, and it's not very often I recommend a book before I finish it, but this one is going to be one of my all-time favorites. I was teaching the class before you guys a couple of weeks ago, and I was done, and I was just completely spaced out, and somebody handed me this book and walked away, didn't say anything, and it's one of the best books I've ever read. This is called In the Land of the Blue Burkas, and it's the woman who wrote, her name is not Kate McCord, even though that's what it says, because she had to use a pseudonym under threat of life. She was not technically a missionary. She worked for a non-governmental organization, but spent a little over 5 years in Afghanistan trying to spread the gospel and understand the culture. And so it's basically her story of those 5 years, along with a lot of the conversations that she had with the Afghan women. It was hard to engage with the men. They live in completely different universes. But what one of the things I really love to study, you guys have seen me teach on culture, the differences in culture, biblical culture and our culture. The way Afghanistan is right now, in many ways, is still the same as the time that Jesus lived, as far as honor, shame, and that kind of thing. And she talks a lot about how that culture, there's nothing in the Arab culture, in the Arab mind, about forgiveness, about letting it go, putting it behind you. So things build up over generations and centuries. And then she also talks a lot in here about judgmentalism and how judgmental they are as a culture. And what really strikes me is when Jesus talks against being judgmental, when he talks about forgiving and loving, you realize after you read this book how absolutely crazy that must have sounded to the culture of his time. They have all the reasons, she has these wonderful conversations and she talks to people and they have all these wonderful reasons why they should never forgive and let things go and why they have to be judgmental. It's just the way life is. That's what you do. It's a frightening combination of ignorance and confidence that these people have. Of course, I'm ignorant and confident myself sometimes, but can't recommend this more highly. You will learn so much about the Afghan culture, about Islam, and about the Bible culture by extrapolation. So, In the Land of the Blue Burkas, Kate McCord, her pseudonym. All right. We've been talking about evangelism, and we've had some fun with this. I want to talk about evangelism in some very practical ways. I want to start out with just four verses we're going to go through, and then we're going to let Tim and Mark continue to show us how it can be done badly. Okay? And we're going to have a couple of little fun additions at the end of this class, so try to stay awake. Okay. Why do we evangelize? Somebody talk to me. What did you guys learn? What did you like about what we've been talking about? Why? What's the point of evangelizing, Mara?
Because we love our neighbors as ourselves, as I think Dave brought up. If one beggar telling another beggar where the free food is.
So you see evangelism as a form of love. Yes, I very much agree. Any other reasons? When we evangelize, what does it do for us? Glenella?
Makes us stronger and wiser. It's more compassionate, for sure.
Good. Thank you. Anyone? Peter? Very good. So we're doing it even if it's hard, uncomfortable, or we don't understand it because he asked us to. Yeah, thank you. Helen?
Obedience to the Great Commission.
Obedience to the Great Commission, yes, thank you. I think it makes us, my point here on this slide, our life as believers is to be lived with an outward focus on God first and then on others necessarily. We cannot just focus on our relationship with God. If there's anything I want to say in all of this, going into your prayer closet and staying there for your whole Christian life is not a biblical option. We can do it for a season, but he expects us to engage the world.
I find that my relationship to God and my walk, Christian walk, gets very stale if I'm not witnessing. Or that's what brings the excitement into a Christian life. That inspires me to, when somebody asks me a question I don't know the answer, it inspires me to go look that up.
That's right.
Find out and, for them. So that's what I find when you, if you've been a Christian for a while and you've lost your first love for God, that's
I don't want to, thank you. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I know for myself it can get really selfish. I'm just going to focus on God and my relationship with Him and do the right thing and go to church and read the Bible and not engage the world because I want His blessings and all those good feelings and all that peace. For me, that was kind of a selfish thing. It's when I got out of myself and went and engaged the world and took some chances and... Then all of a sudden it was like, wow, now I understand that peace that passes understanding. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Thank you. Very good. Glenn Ellen? Yeah, we are. Thank you. All right. Now let's see if I can count this correctly to get to the next one that I want. It's easy to say, but I'm no good at this. Okay? I am not qualified. Well, you know what? That is a perfectly accurate assessment of your capabilities. It's the most honest thing you can say, and me too. We are confident of this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. So don't feel like you got to do this on your own. That's part of why we do it. The reason we do it is because it helps our relationship with Christ, our relationship with God. One of the reasons we're doing this skit and we're doing what we're doing this morning is because of this verse. It's really easy to say, if somebody asks me about my faith, I'll just trust the Holy Spirit at that moment and I'll come up with something. But you know what? The Bible itself says you should be ready with something. Have something prepared. Think about it already. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Don't beat them over the head with it. Gentleness, reverence, love, kindness, thoughtfulness. That's what she does in this book really well, by the way. Okay, then I'm going to do one more passage. It's easy to say, first of all, I'm not qualified. Secondly, I'm no good at it. This is God's domain, not mine. It's up to Him to bring people to Himself. It is way too big a job for me. I can't do it. It's His job. But look at this. Look at this verse. Not that one. This one. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. Now, Paul says it twice in here. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. What do you do with that? I don't want that job. But there it is. And in case we miss it, in case you think that's the only place it says that, I can ignore it. A couple verses later, For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Here it is again, in case you were asleep. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Yes, God is doing it. But guess who he gets to do it through?
Us.
You would think we would be like the worst way he could do this. But there it is. There it is. Are we making the best of this? Are we doing this the way we should be doing it? Are we doing it with kindness and love and gentleness and respect and forethought and thinking it through and educating ourselves? And then going to the Lord and saying, I can't do this. I'm not qualified. And he gives you what you need at the time. So looking at this very practically, back to the 1 Peter verse, what do we have prepared that we can say? So we have been watching our friends who are on break from their job, Tim and Mark. Tim is an evangelist who has been doing it badly, and Mark is an atheist, and it's break time again. So let's all welcome Tim and Mark back to the table.
Of evil, right? Why is
I would say that's pretty
pain and suffering and all that exists and God exists? Well, here's the problem is that we don't know how God works, but we do know that everything happens for a reason and that
we trust God,
He has this all figured out.
So God has a reason for allowing little babies to get tortured.
I don't know what the reason is why this stuff happens, but He created the universe and this is His plan.
So
and
he allows, think about this, you know, back in Indonesia, when they had this tsunami and it came in and just killed all sorts of people. I mean, this water came in. That wasn't even a human being that did that. That was God who did that, if there's a God.
Okay. Here's the problem. Okay, so, look, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we should walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible also says to lean not on your own understanding. A lot of this stuff,
we can't... Wait, my own understanding, and what am I supposed to do about
trust God.
God who exists and doesn't even look like he exists? If he's really a good God, I mean, is he a good God?
Yes.
Okay, so here, let me get this right. You've got a good God who says, oh, I got nothing better to do. Let me just have this cool tsunami swipe out all of these people. And oh, wait a minute. I think, you know, I haven't had any good people on the earth for a little while. Let me get this guy named Hitler and all of my special people. I'm
okay.
I bought about 6 billion.
No, no, I understand what you're doing.
Cut them open while they were alive. That's a good God. He was in control.
Mark, the problem is you're trying to figure this all out, like the plan of the entire universe in your brain.
And how can there be a God that's real and really good and knows all sorts of good things and can predict the future and all these other things you've been talking to me about, and he allows people to get cooked in ovens?
Look, like I said, I walk by faith and not by sight. I trust God that there's a reason for this, even if I don't know it. But you're trying to be too intellectual about this. It's not about that. It's
about intellectual. I mean, even a little kid would say, you know, Mommy, how come little Johnny over there is dying? That's not intellectual. That's just feeling. That's
no.
Like knowing what's happening and realizing that, hey, if there's a God, he sure is a mean dude.
You're trying to figure it out, and you, do you really think you can understand how the entire universe works and how the creative universe works in your brain?
I only understand what I see here. And what I see here is pain and suffering on worldwide global scales since forever, as long as there have been Neanderthals.
I don't know how God works, but I try.
He killed them off. Look at all the birds and all the other creatures that are dead now. God just aren't going around killing animals? I mean, forget the humans. I mean, animals are really important.
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, look, I'm not getting a good answer out of this.
Yeah,
is that more important?
Well, we got to get back to work, and I don't want a break to go on too long.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, I think we need to be done with this.
All right.
So, I want to ask you how Tim and Mark did. Now, remember that they are actors. If you insult their character, you are not insulting the character of the actor, okay? And I'm not asking you to just make statements, just big, broad statements. The list that I just handed out, sorry, I forgot to do it before we started, that's what I want you to compare it to. How did Tim do in relation to this list?
He got the pass up, by the way.
He didn't ask any questions back.
He didn't ask any questions. Was he kind of defensive?
No, he was very wimpy.
Wimpy.
Well, he quoted scripture. You can't quote scripture to someone who doesn't understand the Bible.
He didn't do it with love.
Very good. He did not do it with love. So he was using an authority that was not recognized by Mark.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Helen?
I think it would have been good if he said, okay, let's assume God doesn't exist. Why do you think there's evil in the world?
So
put him on the defensive.
So that's asking a really good question, isn't it? Anybody else?
I think he could have complimented him about an important question, because it's kind of at the back of everybody's mind if they don't say it. So, to say, that's a really deep question, and theologians have tried over the years to explain this. And it's a good starting point to look at what God really is like.
Right. So. Peter, thank you, Glenel.
He didn't know the answer. It's not something he's faced in his own walk, right? And he got a little exasperated because this is a challenge he doesn't want to go to. So instead of kind of really having faith in that moment of time, he showed that he doesn't really, he has kind of a stubborn faith rather than a reasoning faith, because he got exasperated by it.
Right. And so how was Tim looking at it wrongly?
He was looking at it to say that is a good challenge, but not saying that outwardly.
Okay.
Didn't say, you raise a good point. I don't know if I have all the answers. He gave the answer he knew, which he knew was inadequate. He could have said, you ask a very good question, and I would have to really go through a lot of research to have every point blow by blow. It may take me quite a while to do that, but why do you think there's evil? If nature's only in charge, what's the purpose of evil?
Does evil even exist if nature's only in charge?
Right.
Marlene, thank you, Peter.
It seems that he made a common mistake with me and every oftentimes we all do this. We only look into the questions we have, not the questions other people have. So if he would have asked him a question about something that had meant was an issue for him, he probably would have had an answer. That would be my evaluation of the situation. But that was never an issue for him. He just trusted God in it.
So he's only seeing the world through his own eyes, not the other person's eyes. Wow, what a great statement. Isn't that kind of the human way of doing things? Is that a good reason to do evangelism? Is it just to be able to see through the world from other people's eyes?
Yeah, I think that also, you know, assuming that there, I'm not promoting pluralism, but assuming that there is one answer to this question, when, like, if we ask Hugh Ross, he'll say one thing. If we ask William Lane Craig, he might say another. And, you know, we have so much respect for all of these, you know, heavyweights of theological heavyweights. Like, and just say, like, listen, some things are mysterious, and not that, you know, you can check your brain at, because the message I received was check your brain at the door. God works in mysterious ways. Instead of saying, no, God really exists, but there are real mysteries within that existence.
Yeah, yeah, good. Thank you. Jim?
You should have asked Mark, well, what do you think the world and the human race would look like if God didn't allow evil to happen?
What does that do, Jim, by doing that, by asking the other person a question? What does that do?
It makes him think about that. It makes him answer what, realize what it would look like if we would all be a bunch of robots.
Yeah. What is this list that I've given you guys? This isn't just for evangelism. You can use this list for how to make friends and influence people, can't you? I mean, this is just kind of basic psychology on how to be a decent, caring person who lives a little bit outside of yourself.
I was thinking also that it seems adversarial, the conversation, instead of saying, well, gee, Mark, you know, I've struggled with this question too, and this is what I kind of, and this is what I found when I was looking. Mm-hmm. And yeah, these are things that we could search together and look at.
Yeah.
And stuff. In fact, I have some great books that we could read and talk about.
Very good.
Instead of being adversarial against each other.
So sort of on the same level.
And say, you know, I had the same question too.
Very good. Cara?
It seemed like he was also promoting blind faith to an unbeliever, which is very difficult to make an unbeliever believe in without a lot of evidence to back it up.
And then getting defensive when he was challenged about it. Very good. Let's take one more comment, Glenn Ellen.
I heard a thing that was talking about the power of testimony, and that if you have your story and you just simply share it, well, this has been my experience with evil in my own life, and this is where God stepped in to really help, then you can say, so this is kind of a trial that I get to either pass or fail, and so... You know, what's your experience with evil, and have you had the comfort and the help of God? That sort of thing. So it seems to me that if it becomes very personal in your sharing, as well as, you know, maybe avoiding the word of God directly, that a person can hear your story and determine a lot, really, about, you know, is this truth or not?
Isn't the Bible 80% stories? I mean, clearly, stories are powerful. We are to be convinced through story as well as rational step-by-step thought. Oh, it's break time again. Wow. So it must be time for Tim and Mark again.
He's just like constantly judging my work and stuff. I don't get that. But you know what? Let's talk about jerks and people judging. And you know, Christians are like that. Christians are just a giant pack of judgmental people.
Aren't you judging Christians when you say that?
Why not? They're doing it. They're just pointing at everybody else and saying, oh, you're gay. There's something wrong with you. You need to go to hell.
So how can you complain about that if you're judging yourself?
Well, I'm not the one that's a Christian that's saying I'm holy.
Okay.
So the Christians are saying that they're holy and they're nice and they love everybody. At least you talk to me about love. And so what is this business about judging everybody? And why would I want to associate with a bunch of judgmental people? You know, think about, you know, the whole gay marriage thing and how the Christian, all these Christians were getting outraged about it. No, we can't have people who are gay getting married because it'll be the end of the corruption of society and the universe, and God doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the sense? Why are they judging him? They're just doing what comes naturally. I mean, it's like if God exists, didn't he create nature?
Yeah.
All right. So if these people are just following what's natural, why are the Christians getting so upset about it? Since their supposed God made it that way. And?
Because God has rules, man. And that's what the Bible says. He has a plan for everything. But look, the thing is, judgment isn't necessarily wrong. As long as you are doing the right thing, you are in an okay place to point out the wrongs that other people are doing. I mean, that's.
But you can do that even if you're not a Christian. So why be a Christian and become an expert judgment person? I mean, when I talk to people, I don't, you know, if somebody's gay or not gay, or, you know, I don't walk around saying, hey, you're heterosexual, I think you're screwed up.
Yeah. Look, everybody can judge, but you need a higher moral standard to judge from.
Why?
And that's what Christians
Why?
Are.
I can do a pretty good job without any moral standard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what?
Like I'm judging you right now. Are you Christians? And the thing is, with you Christians, is you guys try to come across like you're some kind of charity people. Like you're really nice and loving, but then, phew, man, you got that stabber out, and just, as soon as somebody is something that you're not,
Well, aren't Christians the ones doing all the charity? Aren't we the one building the orphanages and doing the missions trips that you atheists aren't?
Who cares? The bottom line is they're the ones that are pointing the finger at all these other people just doing what comes naturally. You know, they talk about, well, you shouldn't be having sex before you're getting married. Well, let me get this right. God created man and God created woman and they kind of like each other and things happen and premarital sex is kind of absolutely natural.
I don't see the problem. Look, you're judging Christians and then complaining about them judging other people. You're being a hypocrite.
I'm complaining that the Christians are making judgments about the things that God made. And so here God made all this neat stuff and then they're judging people for doing it. So they're not only hypocrites, but they're kind of like conflict of interest people.
Just because God made it doesn't mean it's good. Like, he has rules, man. And I don't expect you to understand all this because you're not a Christian yet, but...
Oh, well, you don't have to be a Christian to understand that Christians are judging people for doing the things that supposedly God made.
You're judging right now. I don't see why you're complaining about it if you're being a hypocrite about it.
You know what? The boss judged me for stupid stuff. He's a jerk, and we better get back and deal with him because he's going to judge me.
Oh yeah, he's going to do some judging. Let's go.
I don't want any more judging.
So Tim is just finding new and creative ways to get this wrong, isn't he?
Yes. Well, we have to ask questions to someone.
Okay.
He's got a tough customer.
He's got a tough. Yes, he does. Okay. So how did look at the list? How did Tim do this time? Naomi, do you have a different opinion?
Go ahead. You can call people that are raising their hands.
I get to call whoever I want. I'm up here. All right. Somebody raise their hand. Oh, come on.
There was very little nuance to Tim's argument. It was very one-dimensional.
So he wasn't prepared. He wasn't doing this. Okay. Peter?
I think he spoke truth, you know, that Mark is judging. But he didn't ask him, why do you judge? What's driving you to judge? Because it seems like what's driving you to judge, Mark, is to avoid considering someone else's point of view, whereas a judging
okay.
So why I understand people judge, and I understand the people that you're accusing of being judgmental, you have a problem with if their morality is not consistent, and I agree with you there. But why are you judging?
Good. Thank you. Tim?
I just kind of want to comment on the setup for this thing.
that these guys are coming in, and Mark has just been raked over the coals by the boss, and he's really upset. He wants to take that out on whoever he can in whatever way he can. And Mark comes to the table and, okay, make me.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty realistic, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
But that nonverbal messages out of this are setting this up to be a situation that really they can't make any progress with.
Thank you.
Okay.
Naomi? Okay.
So in your list, practical ways of showing love, there was none. I really believe Tim was not compassionate. He was not asking, I'm sorry that we went through what happened. He was not compassionate at all. He was not really listening to the pain that Mark was going through. He was not asking questions. I'm not sure about the withholding judgment, but I really feel in going down this list, there is hardly any of the above that he showed. He was in a very defensive posture with his arms crossed and just like, well, what do you think? Why do you? I mean, it was not asking questions in a way of understanding. It was asking questions out of defensiveness.
And this is your son. Look at the kid you raised. You should be ashamed of yourself. So basically, he showed him no love.
Correct.
Thank you.
So what's implied in Mark's argument is that hypocrisy is wrong. And he's calling out the Christian as being a hypocrite, although he didn't use the word. So with the benefit of reflection, I would ask, well, where did you get the idea that hypocrisy is wrong?
Very good.
So you need to trace that back and then acknowledge that, yeah, lots of Christians, God's grace, we catch that with people like you telling us and so on, and we try to correct that. We believe that hypocrisy is wrong, but we don't believe that judgment is wrong, that it's wrong to judge things. We don't tell people they're going to hell or whatever. Anyway, that's another discussion. So implied is that, where did you get the ideas that hypocrisy is wrong? And then if I were in Tim's chair, I would want to answer all of those questions, you know, and say, well, this is where that came from, you know, and ask leading questions for that. But
thank you. Let's take one more.
Yeah, on the note of what the gentleman said about the conversation prior to the one that, this might not be the day to evangelize.
A little timing, huh? Yeah. Talk about how well the Dodgers are doing or something. Yeah. Let me ask you this. What is the priority that we should have when we're in a conversation like this? What is our goal, Warren?
People aren't interested in what you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah. So, shouldn't our priority be to develop a relationship? How do you have a relationship if you don't love somebody? Take an interest. How do you take an interest in somebody if you think you're better than they are? So our priority has to be the relationship. Then you let the Lord open it up wherever He wants to take it. Marlene? No, you don't. You don't. So being led by the Spirit, he said, go to hell. Yeah. With that, it's break time again, and Tim and Mark are still at it. Do you think they're going to get it right this time? Let's see.
And that's even more troubling than the idiot that we're working with.
Okay, you have another, what is it, another theological question? I'm ready for it.
Well, here, it's kind of more like a personal thing.
Okay.
You know, I have a girlfriend, and she keeps pushing me about getting married. She even called just before the break.
Hmm.
Says, well, you know, I've been talking to you about this and texting you, and I've been, what do you, leave me alone, I don't want to get married.
How long have you guys been together?
3 years.
3 years now?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I mean, that's just barely getting to know somebody.
Well, yeah, it takes a long time to get to know somebody.
Yeah, so.
You guys, are you guys having sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
You've seen her, gosh.
Is she a believer? Is she Christian?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Uh-uh.
Okay. But she wants to get married?
Yeah, and I can't quite figure that out. She says, well, we need to be serious. I said, well, isn't living in the same house serious enough? I mean, you got to go and have some kind of document. And why don't we just write it ourselves?
You don't want to get married, though?
No, of course not. It's stupid.
Why?
It costs money. Plus, wait a minute, you know what's even worse? Let me tell you what's worse about marriage. It's like a harpoon. You know, it goes in real easy, but you can't get that thing out. Bad news. So I don't want any part of that.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. But you love her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, man, I think the thing about marriage is it's a beautiful thing. It is a gift from God. And
wait. Marriage? What about just, you know, how about this? Tell God keep the wrapper, I'll take the box. You know, I'm happy where I am.
I understand. But the thing about marriage is that it's a reflection of God's covenant with us. It's making that promise with another person to be with them and only them. That's so beautiful. I mean, that's the gift from God, is that we sort of get to reflect that promise he made with us.
Well, I don't even know where God comes in on all of this, because he's not helping me out here. I mean, if he were really responsible, he'd tune her up.
Well, look, here's the problem, is that she wants to get married, right? You don't. And the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. And that means not to have conflicting interests,
I don't want to get into talking about eggs and that kind of stuff. That's kind of biological.
Oh, no, yokes,
and I don't want to deal with
yoke, not eggs. Yoking like an oxen, like oxen.
Oh. Okay.
Like pull. Never mind. But look,
I'm not feeling this thing about God and helping me out with my problem here, because really my problem really is I got to convince this girl to not want to get married, just to keep the sex thing going.
Man, I beg you to reconsider
We don't even have to share our money. You know, I do buy most of this stuff.
I think
I deserve to get some out of it.
I think you're missing the beauty of marriage, and this is, I think you should ask God. Repents, and so that he can start changing you.
Yeah,
and
what? You know, I'm repenting of not being married?
No, of your sins.
What sins?
Everybody has sins.
That's
what
does that have to do with my girlfriend wanting to get married?
Because if you do that, God will open your heart through the process of sanctification. That's kind of what I'm going through, and that he's changing my heart so that I understand it better.
What is sanctification?
Sanctification. Oh. Being sanctified. It's God. It's God changing you, coming into your heart and changing you and making you a better person.
Okay, well, can you do it to her?
That's up to her and God, man.
Maybe we ought to talk some more about this and get her fixed.
But fixed? It's not fixed. The problem is that you two have different interests. Look, I'm trying to get you to understand how beautiful marriage is. Right now, you don't want marriage because you think it's a big commitment, but commitments can be awesome.
Or awful.
Yes, there's always that risk. Yeah. But you love her, and she loves you, and I don't see the problem. You've been dating for 3 years.
Look, right now, risk is it's low risk, high gain. I like that.
Yes, I understand. That's a good place to be. But low risk, high gain, whatever. But that's not what I'm saying. Look, what I'm trying to say is, marriage is a gift, and you need to ask God to show you that.
Okay, well, she's trying to be my second boss. I don't need any more bosses. I've already got enough brain damage with the one I got. And have another one at home, I'd go nuts. So Why don't we just call this a day? Maybe we can talk about something else another time.
Sure.
Okay. Good enough. Let's go back to that.
All right. How did Tim do this time? Tim.
He started out great, and then he blew it.
How did he blow it?
Well, when he was starting to develop a human relationship with Mark and get into what could have been the issues about why he was had a difference from his girlfriend about marriage and how, in a practical sense, that is something that, you know, they could make some progress with and reflect different views, he immediately started throwing the Bible at him and the concepts that God wants for Christians, and Mark just didn't react to that. He didn't understand it.
Was he relating to Mark in any way?
He was in the first, and then as soon as he brought the Bible in, that was gone.
Good. Thank you. Peter?
He kind of traded away everything he talked about when Mark said what he likes about the arrangement, and Tim said, well, yeah, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That was death to his argument.
He killed it. Good. Thank you.
I think he used words that are only, that don't necessarily have meaning in the sense of, like, God will open your heart. Like, I don't know what my heart is an organ that pumps blood. Like, I don't know what he means by heart necessarily. I don't know what he means by open.
Didn't know what he meant by yoke.
Yeah. He's using these words that have a very specific context in maybe even specific churches. You might go to another church and they mean another thing by your heart. Like Hugh Ross, obviously, probably is very intellectual, so there's going to be an intellectual component to the heart. If you go to another church, they might think it's all about feeling. So what is the heart? Is it going to be my intellect? Like, what is he opening? Is he opening my logic? Is he opening, like, you know, it seems really obvious to one person, but it means nothing to another.
Very good. So use language that the other person is going to understand and not try to impress them with all your churchies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Helen?
Mark revealed that he has a vulnerability, and that's an opening, so Tim could pray about that, and maybe, you know, when a person has a need, then there's an opportunity, so he could pray about that.
And how did Tim do with Mark being vulnerable? Sure did.
Bill Harris pinched him.
Cara?
I'm trying to remember what I was going to say.
That's okay. All right. Well, it must be a really, really stressful day for Tim and Mark because they're already ready for another break. Yeah, let's see how they're doing.
Done here, and you know, I'm thinking we talked about a lot of stuff on our breaks, and you've been really patient, and sometimes judgmental, and sometimes hypocritical, and sometimes lame, and sometimes. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, if, you know, you've been around all these Christians, and they do all these weird things, and have all these weird thoughts. What's in it for you? Why do you bother? Why do you even bother being a Christian when all these things are like that?
Like what?
Like I talked about the hypocrites. Mm. And you know, you can live your life without having to be a Christian.
Definitely, yeah.
So why do you do it? Why bother?
Why do you ask that?
Well, I'm wondering, you don't seem like a bad guy. You're really not a bad guy. I mean, I wouldn't come to have lunch with you or hang out with you if you were an idiot, so.
And same with you.
Yeah, so maybe I am an idiot, but maybe you'd hang out with me, I don't know. But, so I kind of wonder, what it's kind of like the, you know, the pickup line. What's a nice guy like you doing in a bar like this? What are you doing? Why are you a Christian? I mean, you seem like a nice person. Why would you be like those rest of those jerks?
Well, those jerks. Yeah, I'm. There are a lot of jerks out there, and there are a lot of Christians who do mess it up, and I'm one of those a lot of the times, and that's something I constantly struggle against. But have you had experiences with that? Christians like that in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it.
Well, I remember one Christian who just kind of flipped out. I remember seeing him. He was driving into a gas station, and he had a big tattoo. It's a kind of macho thing. It said not from this world or some kind of weird UFO stuff like that. And he was had all sorts of Christian little fish and with a no Darwin sign on it and all. You know, the typical Christian nonsense.
Okay.
And so he had his radio blaring and it was all Christianese stuff. And so he's trying to get to the gas pump, and then some dude kind of comes in front of him and he starts screaming at the guy. He's like, what an idiot. He was getting in there before you, so what? And you got all your little church stuff all over the place. Aren't you supposed to be nice and charitable and sweet?
Yeah, and that's...
So, I mean, that's a bad experience. It's a really bad experience. And then look at all those people, like on, you know, more before, but still now you see them on TV where they're trying to preach and get you to send them money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a business, man. That's not even a religion.
I understand why you'd be skeptical.
So, man, I wouldn't go to that dude's church because look at the car he's driving. He can't afford that. You can't afford it. Where's he getting that money? He's pumping it out of all these other dumb Christians.
Yeah. I totally understand why you'd be skeptical.
So why would I want to join an organization that's going to bleed me out? I mean, I'm getting already hosed just going to the store.
I know. It's hard to see past all that. But have you seen any Christians getting it right?
Yeah, I think I have.
What does that look like?
Well, if I just look like at one individual, I saw somebody, a Christian person, actually very close to a church. So I thought, man, that's kind of suspicious. But anyway, so this person was trying to get across the street and was having a hard time doing it. The person who was handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
And then they walked him over and they went back. And then I could tell they were a Christian because they went back into the church.
Okay.
I said, okay, well, our church person was very helpful with this guy. And then I do remember in history classes, one very particular that stick with me, it was from a long time ago.
Okay.
And the professor was saying, you know, the people who really worked to abolish slavery were the Puritans and the Quakers.
Hmm.
Those were the guys in the 18th century that they're the ones who really pushed slavery away. And I don't like slavery. I didn't like what happened, the slave thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a good, tolerant liberal, and I just think slavery is wrong.
Mm.
And so those Christians, I mean, a whole bunch of them, whole groups of them, were actually fighting slavery. And I thought, yeah, okay, there's something good to that.
Yeah.
And then a lot of orphanages, you know, the Catholics are famous for that. I mean, the Catholics are famous for just all sorts of good stuff. I don't see a whole bunch of, you know, atheist signs over the orphanages anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't even see Muslim signs, but I do see Christian signs.
Mm.
So that kind of, you know, I'm not totally hostile to the Christians.
Yeah.
Even though I think most of them are jerks.
There's a lot of jerks out there.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. But.
So I kind of wonder, all right, you're not running an orphanage. You're not running around chasing after people who are walking across the street. I haven't seen you at a gas station, so maybe I'll check that out. But you seem to be okay at work and stuff, so kind of, just where do you fit here?
Where does
Christianity fit?
Well, I didn't get to answer your first question, which is, why am I a Christian?
Okay, that's even better.
So, I mean, the reason why I'm a Christian is that I follow Jesus because he helps me love other people more. And I find that he's helped me love other people in a way that I couldn't do on my own. And
why do you need help loving people?
Because if I didn't have Jesus, I wouldn't need to love other people. I wouldn't see a need. It would just be me and my life, and I'll live my life for me. Maybe a couple friends, a couple loved ones, but that's it. And I'd have no reason to go out and love everybody else.
Well, I kind of don't love everybody.
Yeah. Oh, no. Trust me, it's hard to like everybody, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But that's why I follow Jesus, because I do believe it's important for everybody to love other people, to love everybody. And this is not a romantic love. This is caring for other people, being compassionate.
So how does Jesus do that to you? I mean, what does he do that makes that happen? So I don't know anything about Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, I just hear people, you know, when people get mad, they call out to him.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yep, I hear that a lot.
But, you know, other than that, I don't know. Why would anybody do anything else?
Because God loves all of us. He loves you, he loves me, and there's nothing you could do to make him love you more, and there's nothing you could do to make him love you less. He loves you unconditionally. And for me, that's sort of the feel to make me love other people, is that the creator of the universe loves me unconditionally. I have no excuse not to love other people and care for other people.
So if he can't love me any less, so if I go out and just, you know, get mad at the boss and stick a hammer through his head, no problem. God says, okay, that's, Jesus says, ah, that's, I love you, man, it's all right. Is that the way it works?
That's a really tough question. That's something, I mean, I've struggled with, is just because God loves me, does that mean it's a license to do bad things? If he's always going to forgive me if I ask for forgiveness? I mean, I don't know. But loving God comes with treating other people right and loving other people and not putting a hammer through their head.
He deserves it, you know.
I struggle with the boss, too.
But
does that make any sense? What do you think of that?
Well, I'm kind of struggling with the idea that I got to love people who I don't like, and I could do bad things, and Jesus is still gonna love me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't quite get that. I mean, I don't love people who, if somebody put a hammer through my girlfriend's head, I wouldn't love them then. You know, and we're supposed to all be Jesus' children, and yet somebody does something bad to a Jesus' children, and Jesus is like, well, okay.
It's sometimes really hard to love other people. And for me, like you said at the start, you know, why Jesus? Why do I follow him? Is that, yeah, if I didn't have him, yeah, I'd probably hate a lot of people I just don't like. But he's shown me, hey, there is another way. There is another way to be compassionate. Even if I don't like the person, I know there's probably some people here at this work. I know my boss doesn't like me, but I'd hope that he treats me with compassion, even though it doesn't. But does that make sense?
Well, you know, what about this heaven and hell thing? You know, I don't get that. How is it that Jesus loves me and he's going to have all, you know, I can do whatever I want to do and not get punished, and then where does hell fit in all of this?
That's a tough question, yeah.
Where does it fit? I just don't get it. It just doesn't even make any sense.
You don't get what? What about it?
Well, I mean, is there a hell?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. So there's a hell, and there's a Jesus, and Jesus says, it's okay for you to do bad things because I'll forgive you. So where the hell is hell?
Yeah, the thing about that is, I mean, and I've struggled with this over a long time, is what is hell? You know, well, here's the thing. We don't know a whole lot about hell or heaven, but all we do know is that basically heaven is, after this life, is being with God, and hell is not being with God. And it's up to us to get to make that choice. And God is willing to forgive you, but if you don't want to be forgiven, if you don't want to have anything to do with God, you don't have to be with him. And that's how I look at it, is that you want to be with God, you can ask him and you can totally get in. If you don't want to, don't have to. He totally respects your decision and your choice.
So you believe that there's life after death?
Yeah.
And I've, okay. You know what? I need to think about this.
Yeah. It's a lot.
This isn't something I can. We need to talk about this some more, I think.
Okay.
You all right with that?
Totally.
All right. Because I just need to hear more about it some other time.
Okay. Yeah,
all right.
Think on
so
it.
So let's go back to work.
Sounds good.
All right.
Your boss just called. You both got fired. You've taken too many breaks. So, yeah. Why don't you guys sit down again, and we'll discuss it while you're here, and then we're going to have a little twist on this whole thing. So, how was it this time?
Better.
Why was it? Why was Tim better?
Listening.
Mm-hmm.
Asking questions.
He was doing with love.
Very good. That's really the bottom line, isn't it, Helen?
He admitted his own inadequacy and his own faults. He wasn't self-righteous.
So it was relational in structure, wasn't it?
It wasn't defensive.
It wasn't defensive. I guess you did okay after all, Naomi. Peter?
There was one point where Mark reverted to calling
Good. Thank you. Gary?
Mark did really well where Mark was asked, what does it look like when Christians do?
Yeah, that was a very good question. Well, we're going to take, so Tim finally got it right. Congratulations. We're going to do a little twist on this in the few minutes that we have left. If any of you were thinking, what would you do if you were in Tim's seat? One of our class members has graciously volunteered to be courageous and come up here and get beat up the same as Tim and Mark. So, Mara, come on up. Mara is going to join Tim, and they're on break again, and we're going to see how Mara does.
Hi. I'm Mara. I'm Tim's friend.
If you're Tim's friend, you're my friend.
Thank you. That's very nice. I'm glad you respect him, and he's been talking. We go to an apologetic Bible class together. That's how we know each other.
Apologetic?
Apologetics means that we learn how to defend the Christian worldview, the Christian faith, and we also learn how to share the good news of the gospel. So
does this class, here's one of the things that I'm concerned about Christians, and it's that I don't think you guys are at all really recognize the value of science.
I'm sorry that, I hope you don't mind that Tim has me here.
No, I'm happy. Like I said, if you're his friend, you're my friend.
But I hope you don't mind that we discuss some of the other conversations that you've had together.
Well, but I want to answer my questions.
Tim thought maybe I could answer some of your objections and questions because
objecting. I'm just asking questions like, can we talk about science?
I really appreciate that you're even welcome to sit here and talk about, as they say, the Lord. We could talk about science too in a minute, but could we, because Tim brought me here, we do have a similar background because, now, I'm not sure. I thought that he told me that you were an atheist, basically.
Well, you could call me an atheist because I really don't know. I mean, I don't really even know
what do you call yourself?
I just call myself Mark. I don't call myself a label. I don't have a label. I'm very tolerant. I don't like labels. I think, you just believe whatever you believe. And right now, I don't believe.
Well, then you can't. You just believe whatever you believe. Don't believe that. I don't believe you believe that.
Well, I don't believe I even know what you believe. That I believe. You believe.
Well, why Mark asked me here is I was an atheist for 35 years, the first 35 years of my life. And I hate hypocrites, too, so he thought we might have something in common.
Okay.
So, and I know that's been a big discussion that you guys have had. And
it was.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't like atheists either. I don't like Christians that are atheists. And I don't, I think we're called to a higher standard.
Do you think I'm an atheist?
I don't know. I asked you.
Oh, because I just want to make sure you didn't.
Do you think you're an agnostic? Would you call yourself an agnostic?
Let's say I'm an atheist. Do you not like me now?
Do I not like you? I feel sorry for you.
Okay.
I want to tell you the truth.
You kind of look down on me because I'm not a Christian?
Oh, well, I think that I do happen to think that the Christian worldview is the truth. So I do have to think, that's why I'm here. That's why we talk to people, because I do believe that, it is sad. That you don't believe, what do you do with the ultimate questions of life? I mean, how did you get here? You want to talk about science? Who created this universe? And how did you get here?
Well, that's a good question, but first of all, do you even believe in science?
Oh, of course. A Christian started science, if you really want to think about it. All the great scientists looked to God, to know to the mind of God, Newton, all of them. That's how the science progressed, and we have a scientific.
Well, I'm wondering. Sometimes I hear Christians talking about science, and I think they're really not at the state of the art of science. And kind of what's really happening right now in science is we're going back to our primordial roots. And so, for example, way back in pre-Christian times, we call it the Common Era. You dudes call it Jesus Christian time, but anyway, before that time, people knew what the universe was like. And then all of a sudden science
what
comes
along. What
do you
along. Mean? Who, what
they know
people?
That, well, that you look around and you can see things. There's this thing called empirical knowledge.
Yes,
where you
of
actually
course.
Test things.
Well, do you think Christians don't believe in empirical knowledge?
Well, that's kind of what I'm asking you now.
Oh,
I bet
of course.
You, do you believe that the Earth is round?
Of course.
You do?
Yes.
So when
what
you,
do you think? I think it's flat?
Well, I hope so.
So you're young. So you're flat earther.
What? Now you're gonna call me names? Let's just talk.
That's
about
not a name. You're the one who said it. I didn't.
You just called me a flat earther. That's a name.
Is that what you are? Do you
I'm
believe?
I'm not
it?
Calling. I told you I don't give myself labels.
Do
Let's
you
just talk about the science.
Don't.
Okay. So, are you aware? Do you know who Einstein is?
Yes.
Okay. So that's good. So that's. I'm glad to hear that part of you Christians have figured that out. All right. So what Einstein did was he had thought experiments, and I want to just give you a thought experiment. If you took one of those. You know the big balls that they that kind of bounce, and they're usually use them in physical therapy, and you know you can lean on them or yoga and stuff like that. If you put a whole bunch of little army men on them, and then you tried to put it on the side, what would happen? They'd fall off. The world can't be round, or we'd be falling off.
Well, there's something called gravity.
Oh, well, that's easy. Yeah, that's so. So
what's
not
easy about that?
If it's flat, where are they going to go? They're going to stay right there.
Listen. This is, you're doing silliness now. I mean, truly, I don't think you're
show
serious.
Me, look around and show me how the Earth is turned.
Look, I don't know enough to talk about science. If you want to come,
that's
I,
my point.
I study. No,
that's my point.
We're welcoming you to come and study at our Bible study. And we study with a astrophysicist. There are only a few thousand in the world. I'd love you to come. And you can ask him all those things. I'm not considered a scientist. So
is he a professor or something?
He's PhD. Yes.
He teaches you guys about science?
Oh, definitely. That's what we learn.
And you can't tell me how come
no,
the world's
I
round?
Can't. I'm a girl. No. I will never. All I know is God did it. I know that it's what it is. I know he fine-tuned it, but don't I can't answer those questions. I don't have all the questions. That's why I go and I try to learn and I get the gist of it. But no, I couldn't answer all of those things that I think it's kind of a silly question. I think you were putting me on, really.
And I think you just want to call me names.
Oh, now, please.
You call me a young earther. You said you...
I didn't say you were a young earther. I said you... Are you a... I didn't even call it. I said, are you a flat earther?
Flat earther. I heard a young earth before.
Yes.
Which I think is absurd.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. We do not believe in a young earth.
Okay, well...
I mean, we do not believe that the Flintstones is a documentary. Okay, we don't believe that. So, but
all right.
Beside all that stuff, all the things that, you know, that you talked about with Tim, I'd just like to know where you, because I don't know, you won't answer me as to kind of where you are. Where do you get your moral code from? I'm just curious about that. Where do you get to, you know, how can you judge if you don't have a moral code? Do you believe in absolute truth? Do you believe there's a moral, a higher moral law? Do you believe, you know, there's something transcendent? What do you believe as an empiricist, actually, or as an atheist, or an agnostic?
Well, I'm not totally an empiricist. I mean, I have a rationalist.
Okay, we believe all Christianity believes in that. It says, God says, come, let's reason together. He said to be renewed of your mind, to love him with your whole heart. We believe in all that stuff. You see, Christianity, and that's why I think it is the best worldview, has all the valid points of all of those things without the stuff that really doesn't, it's bad.
What's a worldview?
A worldview is, a worldview is this. Where did we come from? Where did this all happen? Why are you here? What meaning do you have? What is your purpose? And where are you going to end up? And how do you, it makes, a worldview makes sense out of life. How do we experience life here?
Okay.
That's what a worldview does.
Okay,
it's your
you.
Philosophy of life.
I appreciate that. Now that helps me out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what is your worldview?
Well, my worldview is basically live and let live. You know, other
right.
people, I don't want to mess with other people and cause them harm.
Okay.
And I don't want them causing me any harm because it hurts.
Okay.
No, I don't want to steal stuff from people because it belongs to them. You know, they worked hard for it, or maybe they stole it. I don't know. But I'm not going to take things from people.
All right. So if you're kind of a humanist, I hate to put labels on you, but.
But yeah, that's, I don't put labels on me. I don't want to be labeled. I just want to talk. I just want my answers.
Well, I just want to talk too.
Okay, so.
I'm just curious. I'm trying to find out who
you
are. I don't have a, we only have a lunch break. We only have a little bit of break here, and I'm trying to get who you are. I'm trying to get to know you.
Okay, can we do it without labels?
I don't know. I don't know if that's possible for me. I think we all label everything.
Okay.
You label us Christian and label us judgmental. You do that too, Paul or Mark.
Yeah.
So I think we all do that. We're all hypocrites too. You must agree that we're all hypocrites. Will you agree with that?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think there's some people who can live by their moral code quite successfully.
Totally.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They just have real low standards.
Pardon?
You just have real low standards.
Exactly. Or none. When I was an atheist, I didn't have a moral code, so it was easy, and I couldn't be a hypocrite.
You just answered my question.
Yes, exactly. When I was an atheist, because there was no moral standard. And therefore, we can't judge, period, because then you can't judge Hitler. You can't judge Pol Pot. You can't judge Stalin. We can't judge anybody then, according to what you're saying.
Well,
if there is no moral standard, there has to be something beyond that. There has to be a moral law giver. And that, and where did you, who created you, Paul, or Mark? I don't know why I want to call you Paul. But who created you?
Mom,
where did you come from? In your worldview, where did this all come from? Just asking you.
The whole world?
Yeah, the whole universe. You, everything.
I don't know.
Well, did you ever think about it?
Yeah, I did.
And you didn't come up with anything?
Well, I don't know anybody who knows.
Really?
Yeah, were there anybody,
you know,
there at the time?
I called you Paul.
I
called you Paul, but I guess I was thinking about St.
Okay.
Paul. He says in Romans 1 that we all know God. We all know by what he's made.
Why would I want to listen to him?
Why would you want to listen to him? Because he's talking truth. This book,
well, who
we
says
believe.
That?
We
that
do.
Does?
As a Christian, we do.
So you
because
can,
we've studied.
Can use
it.
The Bible to prove the Bible. To prove
no,
the Bible
no, 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 no. We have two things. We look at. The Bible says that we all know that there's God by what's made. That's what we call general revelation. Okay, but we also
who's corporal revelation.
And it says the heavens declare the glory of God. But we also believe that we have specific revelation, that God has spoken and through his word. Okay? So through his word and through what Paul is saying, what is made, because I don't believe that you don't live like a Christian. Most people live like a Christian because it's truth.
So
whether you
want to
label it as Christian or not is another story.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
Because I truly believe. And, I mean, do you read Richard Dawkins?
Well, I don't really have more time to talk about this because
okay.
I do have to get back to business. But thank you, Mara, for talking to me. I do appreciate it.
Well, I hope we can meet again. And I just appreciate the fact that you are asking questions. And I'm going to pray for you.
Great.
And I'm going to pray. And I pray for Tim. That and if any time you ever want to go to lunch or anything, treats on me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mara, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you mind if I asked the class to comment on your approach?
I want to hear it.
Okay.
I gotta learn.
All right. Well, Tim did mention that, and in one of the last couple of, he talked about his own transformation.
But his own transformation, but why not talk to Mark about what would happen if Mark also did this?
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. How did Mara do?
She did great.
Thank you, Steve.
Cornell?
Really wanted to hear how Christ transformed her heart.
so she can even go spend time and talk to Mark.
Good. Thank you, Glenn Ellen.
Yeah, I think when it comes to science, like the flat earth back and forth, that happened because if you're going to bring up science, be prepared for someone to fire back and in a big way. And yeah, I've brought up science before and not had the references, and it's never worked out for me. I think that's what happened with the flat earth. He picked up on that, you know, she opened the door to science and was like, oh, you know everything about science. Well, how does this work? It's like, well, I don't know exactly how this works. Oh, so you don't know anything. It's a fallacy, but it's still like, it's a rhetorical device that someone who's arguing you can use if you don't know the science specifically. And you can't say, okay, this is how gravity works, it's the best theory. It's like, oh, you're just a dumb Christian,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Yeah. So some preparation has to be there. Yeah, good. Thank you.
To me, it sounded like you were using it as a distraction,
yeah.
away from the heart of the matter.
Sure.
And I would try to talk to him more about his heart, more about sin, more about our inability to, like with his girlfriend, and wanting more of a relationship, about our ability to, our inability to love better and stuff like this. And even though we try as much as we can, still hurt people because we have our sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
And God comes and changes us. And that's what made a big difference. And then go into how God made a big difference in your life and experience.
Good.
So more personal, more away from, well, what about this and what about that, and how many angels can stand on the head of a pin and stuff like that.
Thank you. Well, Gary, one last comment. Go ahead, Gary. Good. Thank you. We're 5 minutes over, so thank you guys for indulging. This has been a lot of fun. Let's give Mark and Tim, please, a big hand. So thank you, everybody. Peter, would you close us in prayer? Thank you, everybody.